This is Phil Ferrand. And I am walking around. I'm actually home, and I have been for the last few days because my wife was diagnosed with COVID, and then I was diagnosed with COVID a little earlier this week. I thought I'd tell you about that. My voice obviously is a little rough. There has been some coughing in the last few days, but I think things are getting better. So I'll tell you about that. My wife had started out, when was it? Over the weekend, a little earlier than that. I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week. And she had a couple of days where she had unusual behavior. She was in bed before I was, like at 9:30, and that just usually doesn't happen. And I had actually asked her, I think last Friday, I said, "You doing okay, sweetie?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm just really tired." So we think it was sometime in there. She had actually started to develop symptoms. I'm holding this recorder. Hopefully the stereo field isn't moving around too much. So then she had worked outside on Saturday, and she had told me, "Wow, I don't think I did myself any favors there." Because she had then started getting a lot of coughing, and we just assumed that it was some kind of cold, or because there's a summer cold that's going around, or that she, you know, was having an allergy attack or something like that, because she gets those not infrequently. Mind you, my wife was fully vaccinated, but she was fully vaccinated last March-ish. She'd come and she said, "I think I should get the vaccine." And I said, "Yes, I think you should, sweetie." So she had gotten the vaccine. And so she started, you know, kind of coughing. She didn't go to church on Sunday. I was feeling fine. We kind of assumed there's going to be a lot of road noise here because it's a Friday. People are heading into work. We kind of assumed that it was just asthma, or it was just allergies, and you know, probably maybe a cold or something. So she did contact her doctor. He scheduled her for an appointment to get a test. So I went ahead on in on Monday. I was feeling fine. Then she got her test on Tuesday. Tuesday night, I broke my fast. And I was just feeling all the normal stuff that you feel when you fast for 40 plus hours. You know, once you get towards the end of it, you're a little underpowered. You know, your sinuses are a little bit weird and a few things are weird. So then Tuesday night, I had started eating and did my writing. But I had kind of a little raspy cough. And that was unusual. And I thought, well, sometimes I get a little cough when I eat too many carbs or I break a fast. You get a little cough because your body's trying to figure out, okay, what's happening now? How much mucus do I need to produce? You know, all that kind of stuff. And that's not unusual for me. I mean, definitely, if I will eat carbs, you know, like we're on vacation, Annette wants to go to Chick-fil-A or something like that for to have a meal. Well, I'll go with her and I'll eat, you know, get myself a meal. And so there'll be the white bread bun on it and the French fries. And if I eat that, I can pretty much guarantee that within about 20 minutes, you know, I'll have an overproduction of mucus and I'll have to cough a little bit to kind of get that out, and then I'm fine. So I thought that's what I was experiencing Tuesday night. So then I got up Wednesday morning, and I was still having a little trouble. I thought, well, this is weird. And it felt like the start of a little cold. So I thought, well, okay. So I went into work. Got there. I had just finished processing my email. Annette called and had gotten her test results back. And she said, you need to pack everything up and come home. I went, okay. So she had tested positive. So as I was driving home, knowing that I was having this little rasp and this little cough, I just thought, you know, I need to get tested too. So I ran over to Walgreens. I thought, I wonder if I can just float in and get a test. And I started making an appointment with Walgreens. The first test they had available was like at 3:15. And this was like 9:30 in the morning. And I was like, but I thought, well, let's just find out. So I got in line at the drive-thru. There wasn't many people there. And I asked the lady, I said, so is it possible? Could we? And she said, well, have you gotten your confirmation email yet? I said, no, I haven't. She said, okay. So she said, if you could get your confirmation email and then come back around, she said, I don't have any tests after like 9 o'clock. We could probably fit you in. Okay, great. So I went and found a place to park and got my confirmation email, just zipped through, got a test. So that was good. So I had that under control. So went home, started my first load of ivermectin, because according to the FLCC protocols, whether or not you've been exposed or whether or not you've actually tested positive, you're going to take a load of ivermectin to begin with. That's a 0.4 per kilogram of body weight. So I calculated that out, got myself a 30 milligram load, took that, spent the day on Wednesday just feeling like I had a cold. I mean, it was just, you know, coughing, fair bit of coughing, started on the cough medicine to kind of hold that down. Felt okay, not great, but okay. Had to do the thing, inform everybody, you know, report on the people I'd been near, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Went to bed Wednesday night, fully expecting that I was going to have to sleep with a wedge to stay up because I had been coughing so much, and I knew I was going to be sore on Thursday simply because I had been coughing so much. And so I started, you know, got in bed, flopped down, kind of laid there for a while, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure I need this wedge. And so I pulled the wedge down, went down on my back. I thought, no, this is fine. So I just went to sleep. Woke up, I don't know, about 2:30. And realized I'm feeling pretty good. Thinking, huh? Because I wasn't coughing. You know, my sinuses seemed to be cleared. Everything. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So that was Wednesday night. Thursday, got up, took my next load of ivermectin. I assumed that I was going to test positive. And I did. I tested positive. Got the results on Thursday. Went back, informed everybody. Not only does my wife have COVID, I have COVID. Took my second load yesterday. I was tired yesterday. I was drug out yesterday. but, you know, got some work done. As much as I was able, got some things accomplished, which is all good. Let's see. think it was about 8 o'clock last night. I had gone upstairs, gotten my writing done, gone upstairs to work on the Halloween costume, and I was sitting there working on that, and we watched Free Guy last night, which is fun. It's fun. So watched Free Guy last night while I was working on the shoes for the costume. And I told Ned, I was just laying there at one point, and I thought, I feel perfectly fine. I mean, I feel perfectly fine. You know, my energy level is fine. I'm not coughing. I don't feel congested. This is just what I normally feel like. And so I thought, well, okay. I had taken one Tylenol about an hour earlier, so that's going to mask a little bit. And I had been running a little low-grade fever for an hour or two last night. I hadn't been running a fever. And then last night, I started running a little low-grade fever, 99.7, 99.5, somewhere in there. And maybe it was because I had just taken a Tylenol, but that just disappeared. So went to bed last night, slept all night. I had taken some cough medicine before I went to bed, and slept all night, slept 8 hours, woke up this morning, felt fine, had a little morning cred. It was funny because yesterday, as I was working on the shoes and stuff, I was eating some goldfish crackers. And I was thinking, you know, you eat these goldfish crackers tomorrow morning, you're going to have, you know, carb sinuses. And so I don't know if that was what it was this morning or if it was something else, but I do have a little, you know, a little junk this morning, but just very, very mild. I'll go back home. You know, I'll have myself a high fat breakfast, take another bolt of ivermectin. We'll go from there. I say all this just to say, this is my experience. And as far as whether or not I got vaccinated, my projections based on that cost-benefit analysis were not done on the basis of fear or authoritarianism or any of that stuff. My decision to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated was all based on looking at what the scientific studies were saying, looking at what the analysis of COVID people were saying about that, and looking at the flip side of it and seeing what people were saying about the vaccines and making the decision on a cost-benefit analysis ratio. So I just thought I'd go through that real quick. First of all, COVID is a highly stratified disease when it comes to people's responses to it. On average, in general, it is completely predictable how people are going to respond to COVID. And it's easy to figure that out just by running through some questions. And they do this all the time. So this isn't something that's new with me. It's not something that I just made up. They do this all the time. For instance, monoclonal antibodies. I have Halloween coming up. So my plan is to try to get tested next Wednesday. And if I can test negative on Wednesday, I am not going to worry about going to Cracker Barrel on Friday and going to Walmart. I'm just not going to worry about it. Technically, according to the CDC and according to the Springfield Health Department, Missouri Health Department, they want me to be quarantined until midnight of the 29th, which is that Friday. But if I pull a negative test on Wednesday, with as good as I've been feeling, I mean, you know, I've been working on this costume for a long time. I could stand outside the store and wave at people on Friday and then do my grocery shopping on Saturday, but, you know, we'll see. So, first of all, COVID is very stratified in how it goes after people. And there's a very basic, simple reason for that. And the basic, simple reason for that all comes down to your immune system. As an example, the medical community knows this. So, monoclonal antibodies. I thought, well, I'm pretty sure the ivermectin is going to take care of it. I'm pretty sure just my state of health is going to take care of it. But, you know, I could go ahead and get the monoclonal antibodies and just load up and just knock through this thing. So, I kind of wanted to just do it on ivermectin. But I thought if it improves my chances of, you know, actually being able to pull a negative test next Wednesday, all the better, you know. So my wife had called, because as soon as she got her positive test, I told her, sweetie, you should get on monoclonal antibodies right now. And so she called her doctor. She got her positive test results Wednesday morning, called her doctor, they got her right in, and she did the thing. My mother-in-law now has tested positive as well, so they're working on getting her monoclonal antibodies as well. And the reason they will all get them quickly is they're over 65, and or they have a body mass index over 25. Or they have some pre-existing condition, you know, asthma, high blood pressure, blah, 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 blah. So I called about it. Well, I'm 62. And my body mass index is 21.5 or 22. Called my doctor's office. They said, well, send us your positive test. Let us see that. And then we'll go ahead and talk about it. And they called up and they said, okay, what's your current height and weight? I said, I'm 6'2", depending on the day, because I bounce a lot because I fast, I'm between 170, 175. I said, that puts me between 21.5 and 22. So no, I am not heavy enough. She said, yeah, you can't. Okay. So I said, that's fine. So I couldn't get them because I'm too young and I'm too skinny. But what that shows is that the medical community does understand that people's experience with COVID is going to be directly related to the strength of their immune systems, and the strength of their immune systems is directly related to the state of their health, which includes how much extra weight are you carrying, and how much cortisol and all those other hormones that get produced when you're carrying more weight than your body is designed to carry. So, you know, everybody knows this. The CDC put out a study. They studied like 45,000 people that had COVID, and they, straight line correlation, they said you can significantly reduce your chances of having problems with COVID if you get 2.5 hours of active exercise a week, period. I don't get that every week, but I get pretty close. So I already knew I had that. I already knew the chances were that I was going to do fine just on the basis of my age, my weight, my immune system status, my dental health, my gut health, all those things. And then in addition to that, of course, is there's the whole ivermectin thing. And I had been watching that and watching that. I had been on the ivermectin as a prophylactic, but it's only 87% as a prophylactic. And it's, you know, it's only 50, 60% in terms of keeping people out of the hospital. But since I already had a good chance of not going in the hospital to begin with, a really good chance, because only about 20% of the people who go into the hospital, of the people who get COVID, actually go into the hospital. You know, since all we hear about is hospitalization and deaths, we come away with this percentage that you get COVID, that's it, you're going in the hospital. And it's not true. 80% of the people who get COVID do just fine. So I knew I had that, all that going for me. Plus, I knew that although the data is noisy, ivermectin seems to have some effect, some beneficial effect, and I had my doses of that loaded and ready to go. So I've been dosing up on that. And frankly, you know, I'm still a little bit, but my experience has been over the last couple of days is that I take the ivermectin in the morning, and then about 5 or 6 at night, everything starts improving. So I don't know if it takes that long to get absorbed and where it ends up and all that kind of stuff, but you know, it seems that, and then, you know, I'm better than I have been all day, and I'm better than I was the previous day. So I fully expect that by the time I get done with this regimen of 5 days in a row of ivermectin, that I'm going to be clear and I'm going to be fine. So, you know, it's funny because when I was talking to the health, you know, now, were you vaccinated? No. And there's like this pause. Oh, yeah, well, there's good, there's good reasons for that, and I will be fine. You know, because they get this doom and gloom sound in their voice. Oh, you're one of those. Yeah, no, I don't know. So, yeah. So it's been an interesting experience. And obviously, I'm not out of it yet. So I can't say for sure where I will be by next week or the week after that. But the way things are going now, you know, I'm going to be just fine. My wife is still struggling. But interestingly enough, when she got her tests done, they not only reported on whether or not she was positive, but they reported on how much viral load they detected. And hers came up red. So I was reading an article that said that people who are overweight, that they do carry a heavy viral load, heavier viral load, than people who aren't. And that, of course, means that they spread it more. So, because when her thing came up on her report, they judged it critical. Which means that when, according to, this is Cox Hospital, when they judge something critical, that means that there is need of immediate intervention and that it might be life-threatening and that sort of thing. And honestly, if you are carrying a heavy enough load of COVID, then yeah. And that may be something else. When Net started, for me, when Net started, you know, coughing and started showing those kind of symptoms, I'd kind of draw back a little bit. And for some of it, I actually started wearing a mask upstairs. We have a big house. So it could very well be that the viral load that I was exposed to was fairly small. And that may be a factor in why it hasn't so far seemed to hit me very hard. So there's just tons and tons of factors out here. But if you play the numbers and you look at it rationally and you simply say, okay, on average, in general, where do we stand here? The fact of the matter is COVID was never going to be something that was going to hit me hard unless I had some weird underlying condition that wasn't factored. But if I would go on average, COVID was not going to hit me hard. I had a therapeutic that had shown some efficacy. Ta-da. And that seems like I'm playing out on average at this point, which is good. So that's fine. So we're good there. It's interesting. I'm down to one bar on the battery. If I suddenly cut out, let me say right now, this is Phil Farron, and I have made it home. So I'll talk for a little bit here, but if the battery cuts out, that'll be that. One thing that did come up this week that I got very, very tickled at was that the AP, speaking of COVID, did a story on COVID in Tokyo. Mind you, Tokyo has 13 million people in it. So, almost overnight, Japan has become a stunning, somewhat mysterious coronavirus success story. Daily new cases have plummeted from mid-August peak of nearly 6,000 in Tokyo, with caseloads in the densely populated capital now routinely below 100, an 11-month low. The bars are packed, the trains are crowded, and the mood is celebratory, despite a general bafflement over what exactly is behind the sharp drop. Japan, unlike other places in Europe and Asia, has never had anything close to a lockdown, just a series of relatively toothless states of emergency. Some possible factors in Japan's success include a belated but remarkably rapid vaccination campaign. Okay, so no matter what, we got to stick in there. Well, you know, it might be the vaccines. Okay, but their vaccination rate, the closest I could find was their vaccination rate is north of 50%. There's plenty of other countries that are north of 50%, including somebody like Portugal. The battery's flashing. I'm going to get cut out. The gist of it is, if you look up this AP article, they go through the entire article talking about how this is a mystery. It's a mystery. We just don't know how this has happened. Nowhere in this article does it say that, oh, and by the way, in mid-August, the Tokyo some medical society something or other came out and told doctors, we are recommending that you prescribe ivermectin as soon as people get a positive test. Just prescribe it to your patients. So one would assume that's been happening. And if you look at the Tokyo graph, it just plummets. It keeps climbing for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, after that announcement, and then it just goes wham and goes down to where now, you know, they're down in the dozens of new cases a day, and their deaths are in the single digits. That's 13 million people, dense, tightly packed together in a city. Portugal, 85% vaccination rate. 10 million people in the entire country, and they're still up in the hundreds, and their deaths are still, they're up. I can't remember what their deaths are. Their deaths might not be dissimilar, but their new cases a day are still up in the hundreds. So basically the same population, Tokyo population is packed tighter in than the Portugal population, and yet in Tokyo, they are completely outperforming Portugal. And no one wants to say, oh, I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that they've started to give ivermectin to everybody. And of course, we can't say that, because that is not part of the standard orthodoxy. Because we absolutely do not want to do anything that isn't going to sell more vaccines. So anyways, it's all very interesting. So far, so good. All seems to be well. My battery is going to cut out here in a minute. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.